You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've just been talking to Diane Gayhart, and she's the author of Mindfulness for Chocolate Lovers. So can you tell us some of the common pitfalls you find with some of your patients on challenges to the past to greater happiness?
Well, one is taking things too seriously in the terms of you take this practice of mindfulness and you get rigid about it. And so in that, you use it to actually criticize yourself more, get down on yourself more. You get competitive on how long you can meditate without, you know, having inner chatter. You get, you know, competitive how long it has to be in order to be good enough. And that's kind of defeating the purpose, because the practice of mindfulness is about learning how to experience what's happening in the present moment without judging it as good or bad, and to try to quiet that voice, suspend it. We never totally get rid of it, but you quiet it. It has less power over you. And some people can take, they learn about, you know, mindfulness, they're going to go all out, get all into it, and they end up actually just repeating this exact same pattern of anxiety and perfectionism that led them to try it in the first place.
Okay. And how do you start to create an unshakable sense of inner joy when everybody has to face the good and the bad?
Well, and so it's one of the concept of practicing mindfulness is that you practice on some of the little things so that when the big things come, you're ready and you've practiced sitting with being uncomfortable. When I teach people to do the chocolate meditation, and most people laugh and think it's a joke, but one of the parts of it is I have them hold your chocolate up to your mouth as if you're about to eat it, but don't eat it. And watch what your mind does when it's frustrated. Now, you may be really wanting to eat the chocolate. You may be fearful because you don't like chocolate and you don't want to eat that thing, you know, so you might be, resisting it. But noticing what your mind does when it is frustrated, when it is dreading something. And so you practice it, you know, through chocolate meditation, by watching your mind, through a breath meditation, and you begin to realize that whatever comes, that it comes into your mind, and if you don't fight with it, you don't try to nail it down to get it to stay, so the good we try to nail down, the bad we try to push it away. If you don't do either of that, you'll notice that it moves past, it moves through. And as you get better at doing that, and again, you start off with simple things like eating a chocolate, watching your mind on an average day, you develop the capacity to trust that whatever moves through, no matter how painful that emotion might be, that it will pass, it will move through. It is not you. Your thought is not you. Your emotion is not you. You develop that ability to observe suffering and realizing it's all in flux and it does ebb and flow and the good eventually does come back around again. And so as you develop that skill, and there's really a confidence that you develop that you can watch what's going through. It is not you. You know, the good moves through and the bad moves through, and it's going to be okay. This is what is. You can't change it. All you can do is bear witness to it. And then once you acknowledge what's there, to make the best decisions you can around that, that there becomes this sense that it's going to be okay no matter what happens. And that's where that sense of unshakable inner joy really comes from, is that you realize that there is this very complex web and dance of life that you're part of, and you've learned how to kind of move skillfully with life. As it's almost like a dance partner to me, that we're going to move through this together, and we do trip and fall sometimes, but you get back up, and you keep moving, and it's going to be okay. And that's where that sense of unshakable inner joy really comes from.
Wow, that's a wonderful, wonderful process to be able to sustain happiness or joy, which is deeper than happiness, even when you're feeling all your feelings.
Yes, it is. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of the progress in Western society, philosophy, psychology, and fortunately, I'm part of this profession, you know, of mental health, that has kind of, I think, given rise to this myth that if you're not happy all the time, something's obviously wrong. And that is just incorrect information. And so realizing that there is this ebb and flow that is part of life, that, you know, loss and change happen to us all. And even when it hurts, it will move through. If you learn how to embrace that feeling, everything, you know, there is an ebb and a flow to those difficult emotions. And at the end of the day, you're always given a choice. You may not like all your choices, but you always have a choice. Mm-hmm. And you make the best choice you can. And that's the pertinent one step. And then once you see the outcome of that, you know, choice, whether you made the right one or the wrong one, you'll have the opportunity to make another choice. And we all just do the best we can to move as gracefully as we can through life, which can be extremely difficult at times. All of us, I think, you know, I've been a psychotherapist for over 25 years, and I promise you, every one of us goes through something that knocks us to the ground. And sometimes it feels like it happens more often to certain of us than others. And sometimes you can go through many years feeling like, wow, that'll never happen to me, you know, but chances are something will knock you to the ground that you never saw it coming, never thought it was possible, and how you respond to that, and if you can accept that it has truly happened, honestly, that is 51% of the game.
Wow.
You can, because so much, if you look at psychological literature, almost every major theory will tell you most of our psychological symptoms come from trying to, in our mind, in some ways, deny that a painful reality is really there.
Wow.
And when you can accept that it's there, it doesn't mean you're okay with it. It means that you're recognizing this problem truly exists and I need to do something about it. Well, then you recognize that you have choices that you need to make and you make the best that you can. But if you can just push through that, those difficult moments of just truly acknowledging that this problem is honestly in your life, rather than going into some type of denial or feeling totally helpless and feeling like a victim, you know, 51% of the battle is just acknowledging the problem is truly there. So you can look, substance abuse is trying to, numb yourself to it. You know, depression is just kind of going into sticking your, you know, refusing to kind of almost deal with it. Anxiety is getting all panicked about it, or, you know, worrying about all these other things so you don't have to deal with the really big problem that's over here. So all of our ways that our mind has like 101 tricks for trying to distract us from the really big problem that's just too painful to recognize. But man, once you get into the habit of learning how to just acknowledge a problem is there, that is really 51% of the battle or more. And then you move forward from that.
So the fight, flight, or freeze mechanism, when we feel it catching on, would it be beneficial to have a beautiful piece of chocolate wrapped up in our pockets that we could just bring out and bring us back to the present moment?
Well, honestly, the chocolate would help better once a day, every day, doing a minute or two of, you know, eating that chocolate mindfully.
Uh-huh.
And if you are practicing mindfulness with chocolate, with your breath, with something on a regular basis, then once you get triggered, it may or may not be useful. But the truth is, mindfulness helps with the stress response, not once it's triggered. Once it's triggered, normally all of us, they call it flipping your lid, it's really hard to get it back on. But what mindfulness does is it allows you, it actually thickens the neural connections that enable you to put your lid back on once you lose it more easily. So if it's just a minor stressor, yes, pull out that chocolate, take a minute or two, and have people take in the sight, the smell, the sound, if it has a wrapper, trying to just quiet your mind while you're doing that. Like I mentioned, you bring it up to your mouth, just notice the frustration or dread if you don't like chocolate. Go through your mind and just notice those difficult emotions and then slowly try to eat it without judging the taste as good or bad, without comparing it to something you had before or after. Just try to experience without judging. And you can just take 2 minutes to do this, but that practice of every day trying to just notice what's going, a difficult emotion going through your mind, trying to note, experience something without labeling it good or bad, and just those little habits. If you do that just 5 days a week, that's all I recommend. Most of us are in some kind of, you know, rhythm 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And so that when your lid gets flipped, you're more able to see, stop, pause, and see those negative emotions. You're able to experience something without immediately saying, this is good, this is bad, and just pause and reflect. And then each time you do that, you're actually, you know, the neural firings in your brain are just a little bit different than they are when you're on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And every day, doing that more and more and more, you begin to see a noticeable difference. I have my graduate students who are therapists in training just do 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and within 2 weeks, most everyone can report in one way or another that their stress response is just less frequently triggered, whether it's getting, you know, cut off on the, you know, when you're driving to work and not, you know, getting upset, or just being able to fall asleep more easily, or being less reactive, or with a partner or with your kids. So the pulling it out, unfortunately, mindfulness doesn't work when you're stressed. It works as a habit that you cultivate to prevent getting stressed so easily, or if you do it regularly enough, when you do get stressed, you're able to shut it off a little more easily.
Okay, so it's not an emergency treatment. It's a practice, a daily habit every day coming into that present moment.
You absolutely got that right.
Okay. This is a great book, so if you haven't before, you've got to try The Mindfulness for Chocolate Lovers by Diane Gayhart. It's an excellent read, so enjoyable. And I would just like to thank you for being on Health First Radio today. Where can we pick up this book?
You can pick it up anywhere that books are sold, at a Barnes & Noble or Amazon, Books A Million. Absolutely. And I do have a website named after the title. It is Mindfulness for Chocolate Lovers, that's plural.com. And it has free work meditations that go with the book, including mindfulness chocolate meditation, as well as white milk and dark meditation. They're real meditations, too, not just a joke. And all the free worksheets that go with it.
Thank you so much for being on the program today, Diane.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, we're going to a quick break and we'll be right back.